Leonard Maltin is one of the most recognized film critics out there. Why do his reviews resonate with so many people?
I love movies, and I love what I do. People tell me that comes through, and it's honest, it's genuine.
From Interlochen Public Radio, this is The Green Room, where we talk about arts and culture in Northern Michigan. I'm Dan Wanschura. Leonard Maltin has written movie guides and books on film, hosted movie review segments on Entertainment Tonight and TCM, and he teaches at the University of Southern California. This guy is a film expert. And Maltin is a featured guest at this year's Traverse City Film Festival. I caught up with him the other day, and he told me he started writing movie reviews when he was just a teenager.
I was an indoor kid. I was no good at sports. I loved to draw and I loved to write, and so it was a fairly organic or natural progression from me writing to writing about this subject that was taking over my life, movies. And I started writing articles and researching articles about Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton and Warner Brothers cartoons and Disney and all of those things.
I want to talk about one of the things you said earlier, which was the role of the film critic is eroding. What do you mean by that?
With the democratization of communication on the internet, everybody is a self-appointed critic, as everybody is a self-appointed musician, performer, artist, writer, blogger, whatever it may be. That's good in one sense, opening the lines of communication. But why should I listen to Mr. X or Miss Z when I don't know who they are? You know, if you read a critic, you have to read them for a little while to get a sense of whether you are in alignment with their views and if they make sense, if they're smart, if they seem to know what they're talking about, before you can form an opinion of your own and whether you want to continue reading them, listening to them. It's tough to cut through all the clutter now.
I want to talk briefly about the streaming services that are available today and online, on-demand sort of viewing. Do you think those types of services will eventually make movie theaters extinct?
No, I don't. Because moviegoing is not just the act of seeing a movie. It's a social experience, too. Where do you go on a date? Where do you go when you want to just hang out with some friends for an evening? You go to the movies. I watch DVDs, Blu-rays at home. I stream movies at home, like everybody else. It's my last resort, though. I want to see a movie the way it was meant to be seen, in a theater, larger than life, in the dark, with a simpatico audience.
You're a featured guest at the Traverse City Film Festival. This is your first time at the fest, correct?
Yes, it is.
What do you think the role of festivals like this one plays in today's culture?
I think film festivals are more important than ever because they shine a light on smaller movies that aren't going to get big release, big nationwide release with huge promotional muscle and money behind them. And these films deserve to be seen, deserve to be known, and festivals help them build that reputation and just expose them to a discerning audience. I mean, I have no quarrel with big movies, big summer movies, a new Spider-Man movie or a new, Planet of the Apes movie. That's great. They're entertaining a lot of people. They're very well made. But I hope there's still room for smaller, more thoughtful films that don't necessarily appeal to as broad an audience. And to keep those films alive, film festivals are a key component.
Why do you think we're seeing so many remakes from the major Hollywood studios and less of maybe the smaller niche films?
They're trying to hedge their bet because movies cost so much to make and so much more to advertise and promote these days. And they're now selling them to a worldwide audience. So the old cliche used to be, how will it play in Peoria? And now it's, how will it play in Beijing? Because there's more revenue coming from overseas than there is from here at home. So if you're going to, if you're in business, and they are, the studios, and you're trying to keep that business alive, you can maybe take a chance on a smaller film, but that's a roll of the dice. And if you're trying to hedge your bet, doing a remake of a familiar property or a sequel to a familiar property supposedly gives you more of an advantage, something closer to a sure thing. There is no such thing as a sure thing, but they like to believe that it's closer to a sure thing.
I want to go through a series of kind of rapid-fire questions, if you wouldn't mind. Tell me what's the best movie you've seen.
I don't know what the best movie I've seen. I know my favorite movie of all time is Casablanca, which I was very fortunate to see as a teenager in a theater, on a theater screen. There was a Bogart revival at the time, and so I saw it the right way, fell in love with it. It's often taught as the perfect screenplay, and I think it is.
Worst movie of all time?
Another very arguable, debatable point. The one I cite is Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive, about the demon trucks that take over. He actually directed that one, so he has no one to blame but himself.
Tell me about your shortest review.
It's a gag review, but there's a 1948 movie called Isn't It Romantic? And my review in my movie guide is no. And that got me in the Guinness Book of World Records, so I'm proud of that.
How many movies do you think you've seen?
Thousands, but I stopped counting. There was a time when I used to count, but I don't anymore.
You wrote a book titled The 150 Best Movies You've Never Seen. Give us three examples that we might go check out.
There's a film called The Lookout, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Jeff Daniels. And at the time, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he'd been on Third Rock from the Sun as a kid, but he hadn't yet established himself as a movie person. And when I would tout this film to people, they'd say, huh, what's that? I never heard of it. It was made by a very talented writer-director named Scott Frank. It is a thriller. It is so good, so original. People thank me for recommending it. It's called The Lookout.
Leonard Maltin's other two picks were House of Games by David Mamet and The Dinner Game by Francis Weber. On Sunday, Maltin will host his podcast, Maltin on Movies, live at the Old Town Playhouse in Traverse City. The event is free and open to the public. This is The Green Room on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanchura. Thanks for listening.